You're not alone, you're not crazy, and you're right to not be satisfied. Because you are infinite brilliance, and it's time to start shining. Welcome to the Lights Like Us podcast. Lights like us
together. Yeah, a good moment that just pops into my head is I had the privilege of going to my sister's big milestone birthday, and she and three other friends of hers were all turning 50. So it was a big 50th birthday party, 16 women invited to stay in one house with a very structured, very dialed in schedule and with outfits to wear. It was, I mean, Abby was said to me, you're just doing a bachelorette party. And of course, none of us who are 50 had a bachelorette party of any kind. Like
that's
they do now.
True. I didn't even think about that.
I think we did.
But ours was,
no, we went in a limo
apartment and
had dinner.
You had like three friends over and like got in your jammies.
Yeah. And I remember Trisha, we got in a limo and we went to dinner. And that was when we started stepping it up.
Yeah, yeah.
But now we have these girls. Anyway, I digress. But my good thing is observing women, and especially women in their 50s and surrounding 50s. Yes, perimenopausal, some menopausal. But I was blown away with how complimentary women are to each other. Mm. Everyone would come around the corner in their outfit that they packed, and everyone had anxiety of what they were going to wear because we're humans, every single person. And it was like, oh my gosh, you look so good. No one didn't get a big raving review of what they wore.
It's really actually really nice.
So it was almost scary to come around the corner because you knew that was coming, but it was so like, you just filled you up. Women, all of these women, one of them brought a sex toy as a gift to one of the four birthday girls and gave a little demo just standing up with her clothes on of how amazing that this was for her. But the women in the room were mostly, I just think is kind of an amazing stat, had been in monogamous long-term married relationships, but out of 16, maybe a couple had a little bit different story. So trying to figure out sexuality, be sexy, try to navigate being a woman, the pressures of a woman. Mm-hmm. But everyone had such honesty, and it just felt, I feel like sex doesn't get talked about, especially in our age group. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like I feel like the kids are talking about it. Abby's talking about it constantly with her friends.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was really a beautiful observation, and cheering for each other and just being really intentional, and also reflecting on parenting. A lot of us have older children, and it was a common theme to say some of them, I'm going on an apology tour, they said. Mm. They're telling their kids, I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was doing, apparently. Mm. And I created a massive anxiety in your life because I thought you were supposed to be perfect. Mm. I didn't think you're supposed to be perfect, but I clearly told you were supposed to be perfect. So that was my takeaway of just women are amazing.
They are.
That was my takeaway.
They should be running the world.
Yeah.
As many are saying, Will Ferrell and others, just please take over. Yeah. Men had our chance. We sucked. Take it. God, please. Oh my.
Yeah.
Please, women, take over. All the cool countries have women running it. Oh my gosh. Like every time I see them, like,
so
of course they do.
True.
Because of what you're saying, though. Yeah. Not all women, but vast majority. Mine is, Anna met a friend in Costa Rica last summer who was from Brazil, who actually went to UW with Anna. So they had to go to Costa Rica to meet each other, but they actually live a mile apart. And we got to go out to dinner with her. So Anna, her friend's roommate, and her friend's parents, and her friend's grandmother, and her friend's sister, and boyfriend, and cousin. It was this massive Brazilian family. The three of us were there with this beautiful family, and wow, my moment, there were a lot of moments, but my one moment was their grandmother is 91 years old. At 80, she said, it's time for me to start seeing the world, and she went on a trip to Japan with her granddaughter. She has been nonstop traveling since then. They went on safari in South Africa for her 91st birthday. How old did I say? Or her 90th, maybe. I don't remember the exact numbers. Doesn't matter. And this woman is walking all around, getting on planes. She works out. She told me, I work out 3 days a week. I walk the other two, and I read 2 hours a day. She said to me, oh, your daughter is so beautiful. It reminds me of a painting. She brings up this Van Gogh painting instantly, telling me about the painting, and it did kind of look like Anna. And I said, wow, she is sharp. She is smart. And her daughter, who's, you know, our age, was like, oh, yeah, she doesn't stop learning, doesn't stop being curious. Her son-in-law said, I said, what is your secret? And she, and the son-in-law was like, she's curious. She's so curious. She wants to keep learning. And I don't, man, people like that, just as we get older, we really start to think life is ending. Like, well, we had our fun. And you meet someone who started touring the world at 80 and has been to countless countries, obviously financial resources to do it, blah, blah, blah. But still, that's not what's holding most people back at 80.
Mm-mm.
It's their, it's fear and all the other things. And this woman was just so
beaming,
smiley.
So bright and cheerful.
Yes.
And her English was so good.
I mean, her English,
and
she speaks
fluent
French.
And French.
I mean,
yeah,
it's just like the classic, but any international
but
person.
Yeah.
But
we lock, if there's a theme with us, Ryan, is we lock eyes on the 80-somethings.
Yeah, we do.
Because they're and the ones that are living still, not the ones that said I'm done,
not the ones
withers,
that are alive, the ones that are living,
the ones that are living. And it is, I think it's a really, it's a cool noticing. I think
it
it's
is
helpful.
It is. And also because, again, if you're living at 91, then for God's sake, what am I doing at 52 or whatever? Like,
yes,
I can be living.
Yes.
And I better get living.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And it's a little easier to maneuver in your 50s and 80s.
Well,
so we should be.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, anyway, that was definitely my beautiful moment. Okay, today's podcast is basically, this is not meant to be me saying, here are the things, but people sometimes say like, okay, yeah, this mystic thing, whatever, like you're trying to be mystical in this age, like it's weird. You know, we're all good at being cynics and finding all the negatives, but it, I also get like, okay, like what are things that maybe have worked for you, I guess, is a good way to say it. Like, what are things that are working for us as we try to live a more creative, abundant, fulfilled, spiritual, put whatever word you want on it, life. Like, we want to be alive. We want to be living, not just alive. Like, what are some things that help us be alive and living? So here are just 7 I came up with. I'm no expert. I don't ever claim to be, but they're things that are helping me and they're helping us more recently. And we have a lot of conversations about them as we're trying to just navigate this crazy complex world, which seems to be getting crazier every hour.
Mm-hmm. No joke.
Like we could digress for a long time about the state of the world right now, but holy moly, is it. Actually, we really should acknowledge, we told Isaac last night, we have to, the stress right now in the world is, we have to acknowledge it. It's real and it's there, and you don't need to have an opinion on whether it's good or bad or whatever. I don't need to get into all the politics or the, all of that. But there is a stress in our culture right now that is more than I think a lot of us have dealt with, and it's real, and it really requires us, I think, to be more intentional with the other things in our life even more than ever, because the stream is flowing and it's a hard one to swim against.
You really need some sort of tether, some sort
really
of life preserver.
And
something.
Maybe that's what these are, like 7 things that I feel like are grounding us a little bit.
Yes.
That's a great way to say it.
Yeah. After, I'd say, you know, reading countless books on these topics that finally got through our head, and honestly haven't even done a lot of them.
No.
That should be in our head. We should be doing other things too.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah.
Okay. First one's less phones. It's just, it's helping us. It's helping me. Everyone knows this. I'm not going to get on some soapbox about it, but I do love The Dose Effect. It was a really good book for me. It was, I highly recommend it. It's about dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. And me, sometimes you just, again, it hits right. It might not hit for everyone, but man, it hit right for me on chemicals and just straight brain chemicals and the effect they have on me. And the effect they have on me on my phone at night or early in the morning. And so I've really made a lot of intentional decisions that I'm actually completely fucking up recently because the world's crazy, as we just mentioned. And even talking about it, I need to get back to putting my phone away for a certain amount of time, not getting these dopamine hits. And I'll just say this, this part was really informative for me, is that dopamine is meant to be this slow rise chemical in our bodies that as it slowly rises, then it slowly declines and we have this nice rhythm to life. But what phones are really good at doing is spiking dopamine. And so when you get a big spike, your body's always trying to reach homeostasis, which is balance. And so if you get a big spike, you get a big crash. And this book was describing my life. It was just, oh my God, this is what I feel every day. And it was explaining it with brain chemicals. And for me, it hit me of just, Ryan, here it is. It's right here. This is the answer. You're getting spikes. You're getting crashes. So don't get the spike. And it equated it to like sex or TikTok videos or whatever. You know, sex is meant to be this long, prolonged, like daily, you know, in the morning you're flirting and then you have foreplay. It's this extended thing where it's a slow increase of dopamine, a slow ramp off. Pornography is completely different. You have an urge, boom, boom. You can satisfy it immediately. Dopamine spike and then dopamine crash. And these crashes are what we feel, this tired and not motivated and all these things. Anyway, that one has been a huge one for me, and even saying it right now, I got to get back to it because the news is so...
It creeps back in.
It does, because mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I just should check out the news. It's important. Mm-hmm. I need to be... No. And also, if you haven't read Stolen Focus, another great one. Another one is Less Social Media. Duh. Everyone talks about this. It's... I'm not ad nauseum.
Yeah, it's almost like none of us are listening no. because we've heard it so many times... But it's true.
It's almost funny.
It's
even
silly.
Saying like less social media. Everyone's like, yeah,
well,
duh.
Less phones, duh. Less social media,
but
duh.
Also, these are like, why do we?
No, but we need reminders.
I know. I need a reminder.
The reminder.
And I did love this quote. How much attention is just a distraction from devotion? And the attention we give to social media, mm-hmm. distracting me from what I want to be devoted to in life, which is not social media. It's so many other things. And it's so many other things for a lot of people. And just this social media distraction. And I did just read this, which we could read one of these every week, but they just this massive study. Consuming short form videos like TikTok leads to significant decline in frontal lobe activity that's very hard to recover. Mm. So we are actually changing our brains. And if you know anything about frontal lobe, that's where it's all at. That's the shit. And we are decreasing our frontal lobe. We're getting dumber.
Yeah.
Like it's making us dumber.
Yeah.
Fact.
I had a crisis where I read a book called Deep Work that's old. You guys, I mean, I feel like it's way outdated, but Cal Newport is his name. And I think he's done a revision. Who cares? Anyway, it was reminding me that I am so distracted. And the devotion you just said, our brain, mm-hmm. I notice it if I'm going to work on a design. A wedding suite, and I'm having a complicated part of it. What is the first thing I do? I go check
time.
Email, same. I go check news, and I go check the Instagram. I'll do anything to avoid staying focused. And Deep Work, his whole thing is how we need to set offline limits where you say, so I tried it, you guys. For 2 hours, I set a timer and I closed every app I had, and I could only work on this one project. And it was, you realize how my brain has changed. It was terribly hard. I got through it. And then once I got into it, I actually started to be in the flow. But what I keep doing is distracting myself from the devotion of my design by going to these quick fixes of dopamine. Anyway, you're right. It's scary. And aging and going through
and our
perimenopause
brains.
And our brains and protecting those things.
Yes.
It's more than ever. It isn't just stop scrolling. It's your brain you're talking about.
Yes. And I think it's also good to remind ourselves, this is about living. This is about being the 91.
This isn't taking away something you love.
No.
It's about what do you want to
like
be looking
last
at?
Last week, yes and no. Saying no to social media is saying yes to so much. So frame it of what do you want to say yes to? What do I want to say yes to? And I'm reminding myself, please, oh my God, hear me.
That's why it's such a good conversation, because you need to be reminded and get that like pumped up again.
Yes. Yeah, we do. I know. There's so much I want to say yes to, and it's not scrolling.
No, and you know how you feel when you're done, and we all, everybody relates to this.
But it's crazy to think of it in terms even of like some of spirituality. You know, I just wish there were religions that just talked about like get off social media to find God like that clearly, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, this is not spiritual in any way.
I'm sure there's books.
I know there are, but you know, it's the ritualistic reminders. Anyway, find wonder. Man, this one, I was just talking to a client, and I think it's a really, because a lot of times we think find wonder, okay, look at the sunset, which is also great. But I was talking to a client, and it was just a lot of the same things that we're hearing in our world today, and I have them a lot too, of just life's hard, and this is going wrong, and this is going wrong, and I'm anxious about this, and I'm afraid of this, and this decision, you know the story. And I think me and you have this story a lot, and in talking to this client, I was realized that me and you, I will brag about us. We are good at this. Because I said to the client after they had talked for maybe 40 minutes, I said, can I just give you a little bit different story? And I said, because what I see is if someone came to me at 20 and said, should I be the career that you're in? This is what I would tell them. Well, I know this person who's in their mid to late 30s. And this is how their life is going. And I just listed off this person's life and all of the good things. They get to spend time with their kids. They get to do this. They get to do this. They just know this. This like 5-minute thing. And they just sat there. And I said, are you okay? Was that offensive? Like sometimes that can be really offensive because I don't want to minimize your pain. I mean, I'm not like that can work or not work. And this person was just like, no, I just wonder why I didn't think this 2 months ago or 3 months ago, like, what have I been doing? And it's, I think me and you, we really do a good job of finding the wonder in our life. Like, my God, we get down so fast and then we go, but look at what we do have. And it's so cliche. It's almost embarrassing to say again, because it's like, thank you, Ryan, be grateful. But man, it's really just finding the wonder in the life we get to live is so fucking cool. And it really works. It's, again, just something that has, it's so good. So it's so easy to get down. We can all find a million ways, but what are the things that are going well? And what are the things that are amazing?
Well,
and Buddha's first enlightenment was wonder of wonders. Like it's the first thing in life to find that wonder in the daily grind. And man, it changes everything.
Yeah. And I heard it made me think of how I view, I'm hard on myself. I have aspirations and ambitions. And of course I get frustrated that it's taking so long. I'm going so slow. And somebody said, when you're climbing that mountain, you've got to stop and turn around and look how far you've climbed.
Yes.
And all we do is look at where we're trying to go. And it's so defeating. But like what you did in that conversation was point out, look at this mountain you've climbed. This is like everything you've dreamed for yourself. And we pick the stresses that derail it, and we beat ourselves up and we're mad. And I think you're really good. I think you've rubbed off on me. You're the best person to go travel with. You're the best person to be in an airport with. You're the best person to, you find wonder. And I feel like that was part of your quote unquote conversion.
Yeah.
Is you went to a pastor's conference. And then you came back and then you said, I see color. And it wasn't because of the pastor's conference. It was like you'd been looking at life in a whole wrong lens.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like you're right. Like it's a brain flip. And I think it's a practice, and it's noticing, and it's getting your eyes off yourself.
Yes.
I feel like when I look around and I see a little baby with his little feet crossed in a stroller, or I see a family that just saved up all their money to take their kids to this little event. And I'm thinking that is cool. So just getting your eyes off yourself.
And being awed by life.
Yeah.
Even this family, the dad, the Brazilian family, he was sitting back and I just looked at him and he had moved his chair way back from the table. And he told me earlier, he just loves being with his family and watching them. And he was just looking at the kids laughing and, you know, joking around and, he had this smile on his face that he was just being awed by his own family and the moment. And I think gratitude, for some reason, I don't like the word. I think it's been like ruined for me, like be grateful. It seems so cliche, but be awed works for me. Like just be awed by the moment that you're in. And it's, again, these things, they work. They just work. I don't know.
They release the pressure valve.
They do. They do. Another one is space, which is this another duh. But I came across this line somewhere. Creativity is this little creature, and the thing it loves the most to eat is space. And Rick Rubin's talked a lot about space is where the creativity thrives. And so even just for anyone in a creative job, which is us big time, I think we're getting ad nauseum. Phone, social media, fear, news, pace of life. The best thing we can do sometimes is just to do nothing. And it's so hard. It drives me crazy. I've tried me sitting in a living room, even in our little apartment, me sitting here with the TV off and without a book or anything is like torture. It's just like, oh my, I'm letting everyone down. It's just, you know, the brain stuff. And yet it's the best thing we can do. Space. Oh God. Another one I think is really, I'm trying to do more is see the connections. And I think it's why I love to travel, because you see the connections of the world and this whole like, oh man, I just came across this quote from Bertrand Russell about getting older. And he's like, as we get older, the more we should expand into the connections of the world, because then we'll fear death less, because death is just kind of the next step of expanding into the universe. It was this really, I've kind of butchered the quote, but that was the idea of this constant expansion into the connections of the world and seeing them all. And I think it's been said before, I might have said on the podcast, but in the West, if you look at an aquarium, we see fish, and in the East, they see the coral and the water and all the things that connect the fish. And I think it's a really hard thing for us in the West to see the connections instead of just the individual pieces. But man, it's something I find to be very inspiring. And again, like, brings me the aliveness and not just living.
Well, I read Mind Magic, and he's a neuroscientist who talks about manifesting. Mm-hmm. And he said one big thing is connections.
Yeah.
Looking for serendipity everywhere you go.
Oh yeah. Different kind of connection. Different kind. Yes. But those two,
it's just this, we're all connect. There's connections, there's things connected.
Yep.
It's just another spiritual virtue. Probably.
It is. I mean, I don't even know what, I think we're on the sixth one. We're almost done. Find something that humbles you. I said this in the Japan one. It's one of my favorite reasons to travel, is because I get so humbled, but I get humbled constantly every day on how little I know. And it's, again, a mind shift. If that becomes, well, when you experience it, it does become way better than knowing everything. Because I also grew up knowing everything, and I was, man, when you met me, Heidi, I knew everything. I had every answer. Mm-hmm. I was great. Mm-hmm. And it felt good.
Yeah, but you, man, had your box check.
I knew the answers. But man, it's so much more freeing to not know them and to lean into uncertainty and mystery. And
it's also actually really painful to be humbled. I just was so humbled in my industry.
That is
so.
Yeah, but
it is,
but
you don't need to know all the answers. I know what you're saying, but I am just reflecting that.
I know.
Just my industry, I'm in a group, and there's about three things that have knocked me off my pedestal of knowing everything there is to know about stationery. And they're kind of little things that I'm being dramatic, but anyway.
I know it is true, but don't you think it hurts more when you think you're supposed to know?
Yeah. In fact, it's the best thing ever, because the rebuild is like launches you.
Yes, but
so it is the best thing, but it's painful in the moment.
It is painful in the moment, but it's more painful in the moment when you think you should know. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If we're just more of like, yeah, I don't know.
True.
I don't even
true.
Know my business. True. I don't even know letterpress. I don't even know design. Yeah. I truly don't. I'm not even saying it to be like,
yeah.
I just don't.
Right.
And then when I learn, I go, wow, thank you. Of course, because I don't know.
You can't know everything.
No, and you barely know anything. But it's like, I used to always say at Branches, I really was like a very open-handed, I just felt it. I went through Branches open-handed, and I don't do that with a lot of things, but it's like going through life like that. Mm. So many people are clenched up, and I've been there, because we're like holding on to all the answers, and it's very, then it hurts so bad when an answer is not what you think it is, and you resist it, and then you fight it, and it's painful when you can't fight it anymore. But if you just live of, I don't know. And then someone goes, Heidi, I cannot believe, which it was, I can't believe you've been doing this for 5 years and you run a stationery business. And you go, well, fuck yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
No shock, I guess.
Well, and here, just for the curious, it was literally a size of a wedding invitation that I didn't know existed.
Right, even though it's our industry.
A8. I think I know of the size, but I didn't know it was a traditional size. I'm out here doing A7s and A9s, y'all, and which mean nothing to most of you, but isn't that a shocker?
I know.
And now I can't unsee that I'm not doing A8s.
I know, but it's also great because you go, wow, what else is there?
Guess what? A new creativity in me has been unleashed because that is a really fun shape. It's a little more squarish than long, skinny, or rectangle. It has a little bit fatter. It's a little wider.
And it's so fun.
It's so fun. But I sat there. The feeling of sitting there and A, saying, do I admit that I didn't know this?
Right, which you did.
The pride is big. And I feel like that's just across every thing in life. And it is interesting. You can go through a whole career.
Yeah.
And there's a major thing you just learned. And I do love that. I love that I have been doing this business for 20 years and I just learned something new.
But also, don't you think everyone loves, Brené Brown, vulnerability.
Yes.
Everyone loves when you admit that you didn't know, because we all know we don't know, even though we don't want to admit we don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. And it is just goes back to all of our wiring and our upbringing and our way we move through the world, for sure. But vulnerability is the most attractive thing in anyone. So.
And being humbled is
being
great.
Humbled is great. Well, it is.
And actually, you're not humbled if you just live humble. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Oh, you're saying just...
I'm not...
Okay, first off, nothing.
I do not do this, but...
But I feel like it's impossible.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, if you just live like, I just don't know...
Yeah, but then people kind of come to you and ask you questions in your industry and you have to know.
There's things I've learned and opinions.
I think you're speaking more spiritually. We don't know.
I think I genuinely am speaking, like, even as a graphic designer, I've been doing it for 25 years, and then I watch a stupid little Instagram video, and I'm like, what? You can do that in Illustrator? I didn't even know that. Like constantly.
But I think, we're always having to be learning.
I mean,
the minute you think you're got it, that's when you're going to get humbled. Done.
Yeah, that's, I guess, all the same.
Yeah.
Okay, then the last one is just do something you're moved to do, which again, because of my upbringing, even I had this written down from I had written this a while ago and I was like, ugh, Ryan, I hate that. What, like go serve the hungry? No. Maybe it's just move to a new city or quit a job or leave a church. Like, you know those things you're moved to do, just do them. We've talked about in our whole first episode of just our regret maybe is not doing things we wanted to do sooner. And to me, that is living. That is the opposite of a lot of people and a lot of people I coach too is just... You know what you want to do, but you can't quite do it. Like, I want to start a business. I want to quit this job. I want to move here. I want to have a kid. I want to marry this person. I don't want to marry. Like, all of these things it's this half of coaching is like trying to find the strength to just do it, to do the thing you want to do and you for some reason can't. And I'm again speaking to myself 100%. I feel like the mystics, the people who are not just alive but living, they just do it. They do the shit they want to do. And it involves all of these things. You know, they are not afraid. And there have maybe space and all these things. I guess at the end of the day, it's all time, right? I mean, it's giving ourselves time and removing the things that are taking all the time away from us. And
Anthony DeMello would say, wake up.
Wake up. Yeah, but you can't wake up if you have no time to even think about yourself.
You can't force yourself to wake up.
No, but you can't wake up if you're just constantly distracted.
No, and that's the thing. I think as we age, I think the urgency becomes real.
Yes.
And I think that's what we're noticing is we are now 50 and you start to look back and you look forward and then you start to panic. And that's why if you could we tell our kids, like, just... Go live in Spain for a year. Don't worry about it.
Nope.
Because you have your whole life ahead of you.
Yeah. It's why they say the 50s are great. People say it because you're right. We're looking at the 90-year-old. We're looking at the 30-year-old and 20-year-old, and it's all becoming real.
It all becomes the game of life is a happening. It's afoot.
It's afoot. The game is afoot. And man, it is. You want to squeeze the lemon out of the juice more than ever. And all of these things I'm reminding myself are what I want in my life.
And you know, at the end of the day, it's truly this human body we have. We want it to be optimized to be alive. And all these little quips of put this down, don't eat that, you should move your body. It's just how much of our body can we optimize without being crazy? Because there's a whole movement of crazy.
Yes.
So that we can squeeze the most out of this life. And what is not serving us, letting go of what is not serving us is really the summation.
It is.
And you have to zoom out and look at your life. And we all know what they are. And we all know that those tiny tweaks make all the difference.
Yep.
And now when you know it, you know it. And then you also need to be reminded because then you forget.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's it. And I think it's also good to remind ourselves that these are things that are, it's not like this toxic self-care or whatever. It's truly living, you know, and religions have tried it. Spirituality tries. Everyone's trying it in all different ways. And that's at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is get the most out of life. And I don't know. Those are a few things that have helped us or are helping us. And I'd love to hear yours genuinely if you have them, which is what most of our conversations with everyone is like, how are you living?
Yeah.
Are you sleeping? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for today. Have an amazing week and genuinely love to hear what you're doing in your stories and how you're finding life because
it's contagious.
It's contagious. Yep. Okay. Have a good one. Till next time. Bye.
Bye.
If you do sometimes feel a little lonely or maybe a little crazy or just that you're not getting the most out of life, I am a certified coach and I love helping people find their way to better. If you'd like to know more or book a discovery call, check out rsjmiller.com. And if you'd like to know more about the podcast, lightslikeus.com. Until next time, keep shining.